to the courthouse today and I filed a lawsuit against Charlie because Charlie twisted my arm to get me to come up here and speak. Now I feel bad because he had me stand up and said those nice words about me. I think I might dismiss that lawsuit. Right. This is actually my third speaking deal today. I don't normally speak a whole lot, but today just happens to be the day. I did two classes at Union today, and I saw Sterling. I didn't teach his class, but I saw him in the hallway and talked to him. Talking about commandments, and my biggest fear is for me to come up here and stand before you and to say the wrong words. I can stand before a crowd and talk about law enforcement things and talk about the Constitution and all of that, and I feel great, but it's different for me to stand up and try and talk about the Bible and talk about, you know, so I'm kind of worried that I might slip up and say something like the Eighth Amendment or talk about the Constitution, but it's the Eighth Commandment that we're talking about, and I think in the past couple of weeks, you guys have talked about the Sixth Commandment, which deals with life, right? Deals with murder. Thou shalt not murder. And last week, we should have talked about the seventh commandment, dealing with the sacredness of the home, marriage. So tonight, we're going to talk about the eighth commandment, and that deals with our property and our possessions. And all of these things have something in common. All three of these that I just mentioned have something in common with one another. One of those is that all of these items, all of these commandments are still followed today. The Oklahoma statutes, which governs, it's like the Constitution for the state of Oklahoma, has all three of these on the books. Yes, it still has adultery on the book as a criminal offense. And I don't see that going anywhere. And it's not used very often criminally, but I'm sure it's used in civil court quite often. But all of these deal with civility also, right? Without these, there's lawlessness, right? I've spent almost 15 years in law enforcement, and in those years I've seen quite a bit of criminal activity. I've seen the results of murder. I have been the first one on the scene of a homicide, and you know, it's a weird feeling to have that. Barry has probably experienced that as well. I've seen the results of domestic abuse and infidelity. You know, policemen are not only policemen, but they're social workers. They are, you know, any and everything that you can imagine they have to deal with. Now, in my current line of work, I deal with drugs, narcotics. That's the big thing for me. And I worked majority of my career in narcotics, whether that's doing undercover work or whatever else comes along with it. One thing that I've noticed is that everything that in dealing with drugs, everything always leads back to some form or another of trying to gain wealth. Everything criminally is about attempting to gain something. You look at it. You look at drugs. You look at robberies, larcenies, fraud, some murders. It's all about an attempt to gain something. And I sat and I thought when I was preparing this lesson, is there any criminal act? And I couldn't find one. Maybe somebody knows one. Is there a criminal act out there in which a person gains absolutely nothing? You got to think about it. And when I say criminal act, I mean running a red light is a criminal violation. What do you gain when you run a red light? Time, right? Yeah. You know, when you're speeding, you gain time. So there is, every criminal act, there is something to gain out there. Now, when we talk about the eighth commandment and we're talking about property, there's a lot of property out there that some people have amassed over time. You know, I think doctors, attorneys, CEOs, hedge fund managers, all of those people, they deserve exactly the salary that they make, I believe. They made some gigantic sacrifices to get to the point that they're at. And they have sacrificed a lot, their families, time. So they deserve that. And on the opposite end, there are also individuals out there that are unproductive and they're not utilizing their skills. That could be a form of theft. That could certainly be a form of theft. The commandment, the eighth commandment, deals with honesty. It deals with honesty and integrity. Let's, the book of Luke, and you can turn to it if you want. But we all know this parable. In the book of Luke, oh, before that, I wanted to talk about a couple things. This eighth commandment is pretty simplistic, wouldn't you say? You don't steal, right? It's pretty simple. The Jewish law was highly regarded theft as something that was up there in criminal stature. There was a lot of restitution that had to be paid when you committed a theft, and you were severely punished for it. And it's still like that in some other countries. I thought back to Hurricane Katrina and the events that happened there. There in New Orleans, when the water came into the city, covered the city. The city lost power. It was total chaos, and they couldn't get people in there to help. So everyone was left to fend for themselves. So what did they do? Immediately, people started to go to the grocery stores, to any type of business. They break in those businesses and take items and take things that they needed. And it got to the point where all of the looting had occurred and there was nothing left. So the people started turning on each other and taking other people's things. Lots of robberies occurring out there. It got so bad that the media that had reporters there, the media was actually being shot at. They were having their equipment stolen. Their MREs were being taken from them. And they needed help. So they called on law enforcement to help them. There was a team from Tulsa that went down, and they were assigned to the media outlets. And their sole mission was to guard and protect the media. The sole mission of the police, the police response was to stop the lawlessness that was occurring. Now we can go back to, I think it was last year in Japan. There was an earthquake and a tsunami. Everybody remembers that, right? What happened there? Pretty much the exact same natural disaster occurred, but totally different response from the community. There was no one that had to worry about their possessions being stolen. Shops weren't looted. The police did not have to respond and set up perimeters to protect property. Why is that?
Attitude.
This is a class, so everybody can speak freely. Ethics, culture. Right. Correct. In the Japanese culture, they are, they think that their morals and values are so much different. They are held to such a high standard. And it's not just the one individual. If someone steals, it's not just that one individual that ultimately gets punished. The entire family does, because the people view that as shameful. And so it just doesn't happen very often. We look at Luke chapter 10, and we look at the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. And we all know the story. There was a man going to Jericho, and on the way there he was came across some individuals that robbed him. They beat him, stripped him, took all of his money, possessions, his clothing, and left him there on the side of the road to die. There was a priest that came by first. The priest came by, was walking down the roadway, saw the individual laying on the side of the roadway, crossed over in order to avoid him, and continued on his journey. Levite did the same thing. He also passed on the other side of the road. Has there ever been a time where you've been in a position in which you were down and needed help and thought someone would help you, but you see them coming and they turn and go the other way? Or they don't reach out to you for help? Anybody ever been in a situation like that? I myself have been in several different situations that could have been catastrophic. And there were many times in which I had to rely on other officers to help me. I distinctly recall being out one night and checking a vehicle in a park, and the vehicle was occupied by three different people, one male and two females. And the male was extremely uncooperative with me, and when we check out on the radio, a backer automatically starts to come to you. Hopefully it's the closest one, but in this instance, it wasn't. So I got the individual out of the car, and he was intoxicated, and I immediately put him in handcuffs. But then the two females in the vehicle became irate and attacked me. So I am at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a park with three people, two of which are attacking me. I've got one female, and we've got an emergency button on our radios. We can push that button, and they tone out, and all the help that every policeman in the city, as well as the troopers, all of them have that same frequency. They all know where you're at, and they'll come to you. So I got to the point, that's the only time I ever had to push it. I got to the point where I'm fighting with this individual, and one person grabs a rake or a shovel or something and is coming at me, and I've got one on the ground, and I can't wait to get help to me. And I know I've got that button pushed because I can hear the chirp going off, And then I can hear the sirens coming. And all I know is I got to hold on for just another minute. And so help arrived, helped me get the other two into custody, and I'm still here today. But there are times where we need help. There are times where we're down, and sometimes the help that we think that we're going to get, we don't get. So this man that's beaten on the side of the road, two people have already passed him by. A third person comes by, a Samaritan. And that Samaritan helps the man. He gives him part of his possessions, a portion of his time, his money, sets him up in a room, and we all know the story from there. You see, the thieves that originally attacked this man, they were trying to circumvent the system. And we get a lot of that, right? We get a lot of people that are trying to circumvent the system. If they spent more time doing something productive, then they would be they'd be a lot better off, right? We'd all be a lot better off. But there's always somebody out there trying to circumvent the system, trying to get something for nothing. The priest and the Levite, as they pass by, their thoughts are, what's mine is mine, right? The Samaritan believes, what's mine is mine, and I will share it with you if you need it. That's how we ought to be. We all have our possessions, and it's good to have possessions, and it's fine to have possessions. Is there anybody here that thinks that it's not okay to own things or to own more than what somebody else has? But we ought to be, what's mine is mine, but I will share it with you if you need it, right? Now, the eighth commandment, it's a simple commandment. It's basically, don't take somebody else's stuff because God has entrusted them to care for it. So don't take it away from them. The eighth commandment was simple back then. I think it's a little bit more complicated today. It's a little bit more complicated because we don't view theft as theft, right? We've got all of these other made-up words that we call theft now. It's not just stealing. We got robberies, larcenies, petty larceny, anything under $500. Grand larceny, anything over $500. Larceny from a house. Embezzlement. Filing false documents, false claims. Forging instruments. Defrauding an innkeeper. Defrauding a restaurant. Fraud. It's all stealing, right? Amen. So why do we have so many different forms of that? I gotta agree with you there. You know, shouldn't a thief be a thief, and shouldn't theft be theft, and it be punishable by the same thing? It doesn't matter whether or not they stole something from your house or from my house, right? It doesn't matter to me if they stole $50 or $500. But we're a complicated society. You know, rarely do you see a bank robbery that occurs like it does in the movies. No mask. Very rarely will you have shots fired inside of a bank as it's being robbed. Has there ever been anybody here that's been robbed? Okay. Anybody want to share the story? Okay.
First off, when I lived in Alaska, we had some people that burglarized our house.
Uh-huh.
Took quite a few things. Then in Edmonton, we had the same thing. Up in Wyoming, we had the same thing. because mm-hmm. they don't want to work for it.
Yep.
It becomes kind of hard to, at first, it's hard to understand them. There's some people there out there, and you know this probably better than any of us, they're going to steal no matter what.
Right.
They could be a multimillionaire, and they're still going to steal.
Uh-huh.
Because that's their attitude.
Yeah.
We're the only ones that can change Christians.
It is pretty shocking once you've been a victim of a robbery or a theft, right? It's especially if it occurs at your home, right? Because that is your place. That's your sacred little area.
I think it makes a big difference whether it's at your home or in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened to us. We had someone came in, and we probably know who it was. They came in to our backyard, went into a shed, and stole lawnmowers and yard equipment, something they could sell.
Mm-hmm.
They came back the next night. A weed eater was left, but it was in a spot where they couldn't see it or didn't have time to get it. They came back the second night and got it. You know, just like you said, you know, they get what they want. You know, don't feel a need to work, pay for anything. But it,
right.
Like I said at the beginning, it makes it. Never had them break into my house, but I know it would make a tremendous difference
mm-hmm.
for them to come into your home and violate you in that manner.
Right. I totally agree with you. So, we talked about how simplistic this eighth commandment is, yet how complicated it is for us in today's time because of our views are what we as society has said theft actually is. It's not just theft. There are different types. So, what does this commandment forbid? Realistically, okay, does it mean that we can't cheat on our taxes?
Yes.
Is that a form of theft? Really? Yes, I would say so. Okay, so what do you think about taking something home from the office? Pencils, pens, notebook paper. Is that theft?
Yes. Unless it's your own office and you pay for it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Our company figured out one time we were the largest grocery chain in the world at that time. If every employee, not customers, every employee ate an apple or just one apple, how much that apple would compete to in dollars and cents? And it would.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Is there, it doesn't matter what the item is. It doesn't matter how small it is or what it costs. Once again, theft is theft. As for taking items from the office, I think that we have to look at what it is the office or what it is the employer views as theft, right? Because where I work at, we routinely, monthly, are ordering paper, pens, pencils, the little flash drives. Anybody know what a flash drive is? All right. but we routinely order that stuff, and we do so because our philosophy is that we know, we call them expendable items. We know that those items are going to get used and thrown away or tossed here or tossed there or left in a car or taken home. We view that as okay, and it would certainly depend upon the employer that you have. Some employers have pens that have the logo of the company on there. I don't think they have the logo on there specifically just for you to use and to say that that pen there came from HP. It's a marketing tool, right? I thought of HP because I saw your shirt. Marketing tool, right? So I think in some instances it's going to depend on what the employer views as expendable items. Would that be fair? Yes.
If you don't know what the employer thinks about it, then it's theft.
Yes. Correct.
If the employer's made it known that these are expendables and things like that, then that's part of the business.
Yeah.
But we got to be very careful saying something like that because it may be an expendable item to us, but not mm-hmm. to the boss.
Right.
What is the definition of stealing?
Well,
I think I heard the answer.
What is it?
There.
Well, that's another part on it. That's on one, my list. But yeah, what is the definition of theft? Taking something that doesn't belong to you. Okay.
I think it's that simple without permission.
Yes. Yep. So we've got, I told you, we have broken down theft into all of these different categories. All of the different larcenies that we have. You know, we have a crime for just about anything or any type of theft. It's not just called theft. It's got to be called something specific. How about this fraud thing? Is that theft? Okay. Fraud is defined as deceit, trickery, a breach of confidence, perpetrated for profit or to gain an unfair advantage. You know, we're living in a time in which we have seen the biggest fraud take place in American history. I'm speaking of Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff is estimated to have stolen $65 billion. Now, he was recently sentenced to 150 years in prison, and he forfeited $17.1 billion in assets. That's a lot of money. Somebody earlier mentioned that it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. A rich person will steal just as quickly as a poor person will, right? Yeah, and I think this is great evidence in that. Let me ask you this. What about our jobs, and what if an employee isn't doing his or her job correctly, isn't doing things up to par? Is that considered theft?
If they're doing the best they can, they're goofing off during the day, then they're stealing time from their employer, they're stealing wages. But if the employer hired them and they're doing the best they can, if they could be doing 10% of what the other guy's doing, they're not stealing that.
Mm-hmm.
That other guy that could do 10 times as much, if he's only doing 5 times as much, then he is. It's all, it can come down to attitude.
Okay. Anybody else agree, disagree with an employee?
A good example of stealing from your boss would be coming in late, leaving early. You know, that's taking time that you're being paid for and not doing anything for it.
Right. You're right. Let's reverse it. Can an employer steal from an employee?
Yep.
How so?
They can cheat you on your time.
Yeah. How about not paying you a fair wage for the job that you're doing?
Not paying it at all.
Yeah.
But God will take care of it.
Right. Yeah, we recently heard that story by someone here in the church. Right? So yeah, that can certainly happen. Employer is just as can conceivably steal from an employee. How about unpaid debts? What if you go get something on credit and don't pay it back? Is that theft? Okay. Right. Do you have intentions of paying it back? Okay. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8 says, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt of love one another. He who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." So it's not wrong to buy things on credit, but you got to repay your debt. You know, someone once says it pays to be honest. Sometimes it also costs to be honest. I've got a quick story I want to read you that was in a newspaper in Minnesota. This story happened maybe a month or two ago. It says, the headline says, "A family could miss out on $50,000 prize after father confesses wrong twin made miracle hockey shot." Anybody remember that story? It was on Good Morning America. An 11-year-old boy who won $50,000 for a miracle hockey shot may lose the prize because he switched with his twin brother before going on the ice. Nate Smith stunned a crowd in Minnesota Thursday night when he fired a puck 89 feet down the rink into a tiny 3.5-inch goal. His dad had paid $10 for the raffle ticket and would give the winner a shot at $50,000 jackpot. The only problem was that Nate's brother, Nick, was on the ticket. Nick had just gone outside when the ticket was drawn, so Nate stepped up to try his luck. Twin brothers, would anybody have known? The father, Mr. Smith, Pat Smith, said that he came forward the next day to tell the organizers the son whose name was on the ticket was not the one that made the shot. Father said, "We thought honesty was the best policy and we wanted to set a good example for our kids." I don't think anybody else would have known other than the parents and those two kids, two boys, had they not stepped forward and said, "Hey, look, I'm twins, we're twins, I took the shot, he didn't."
Yeah, what would that parent have done 20 years from now when their kids were stealing because they saw what the parents did?
Yes, we always have to think about consequences. And I do know that the company thank them for coming forward and saying that and making it clear, but they did give them the $50,000 jackpot, and it is going to be used for the kids' education, college. So, Ephesians 4:28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he might have something to share with those in need. I think that kind of summarizes things, don't you? We should be doing things useful with our own hands so that we can share it with others. The current laws that we have on the books, they mirror the laws, the morals and values that we as a people have decided what's right. You know, the laws allow every man and woman to have an opportunity to succeed in this country. Sometimes we waver into what is acceptable and what's unacceptable. But the commandments that God has laid out is still adhered to the most part today. Okay? You know, there's a number of ways we can steal from one another. I want to end with this, though. The test of a man's character is what he is in the dark. A man is not a thief because he steals. He steals because he is a thief. Charlie, I think that about does it. And it's 8 o'clock on the dot.
Great job.
Thank you all.
Thank you, sir.